Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Good evening. Good evening, everybody. Glad you're listening to the show. We got a big show tonight. Got my man Joe Collins, played with me with the DC Bears. Got Troy Thomas with the Coolidge, Norfolk State, and he went to the Metro Bulls after that, defensive back. Well-respected, one of the great ball players on my team. Joe Collins is my teammate for 6 years. Play defensive tackle, play right next to Smirnoff. That's what we used to call him, right? Paul Lucas and Wesley, Larry Wesley, played the linebacker. When he left, Richard Miles came. So we got a great show tonight. I'm excited. How you doing, Bach?
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Technical difficulties. Good evening, everybody. We're having some difficulties. We got a good show tonight. We have Joe Collins coming on, former teammate. We have Troy Thomas, who played for me, also played at Coolidge in Norfolk State. We've been having some difficulties. I don't know if it's the wind or the rain or whatever. We started at 7:30, but we're running late because we did have some technical difficulties. When you got a blog radio, things like that happen. So bear with us, and Joe Collins should be coming on shortly. Bach is in a different location, so we are having some difficulties. First time this really happened. I had it one time before, but it wasn't as long. But those are some of the things you have to deal with. But I'm glad everybody could tune in. I appreciate it. With the Hangman and Bach, we're going to have Joe Collins on at 8 o'clock, and we're going to have a lot of fun. He's got some stories to tell, I know that. He was my teammate. And as far as the NCAA tournament, my team is North Carolina, but I really don't look at the tournament like I should. It's a lot of good ball players, but I usually just wait until the Final Four. But a lot of teams are getting knocked off. So, you know, college basketball is different what it used to be. Big teams, they always win. Top flight talent always win. Now, so, have my man on the show.
Hi, this is Joe. Leave me a message.
At the tone, please record your message.
We have to try to get him back again.
Hello?
Joe Collins.
Hello? Yes.
Joe, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Brooks.
Hey, how you doing? Everybody, we got Joe Collins on the line. First of all, I like to say we had some difficulties because blog radio, you have difficulties sometimes. But I'm glad you're on the show, and I want to tell everybody that Joe Collins is a good man. Him and I played football about 6 years. We basically played on the same side with DC Bears. The time I was there, we only lost maybe 3 games, and Joe Collins was defensive tackle. We played next to Paul Lucas. We called Smirnoff. May he rest in peace. And then we had Wesley, Larry Wesley playing linebacker. Larry Rat Wesley. They called him the Rat. I don't know why they called him the Rat. Maybe he's a rat. I don't know. But he's my man. And I played the corner on this side. And Joe, I'm glad to have you on the show. Bob Johnson is supposed to call in. So you know what that's about. Bob Johnson.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
I appreciate you coming on the show. Tell us about yourself. You know, how you got started playing football and where you got started, and let us know what's going on. I know you were strong. I know that. You played that defensive tackle. You were tough.
Well, I started playing in high school. I was born in D.C., but my family lived in Virginia, just across the river. And
okay.
I went to high school where schools were still segregated, man. I went to a Luther Jackson in Virginia. It was the only black high school in Fairfax County.
What?
That's
unbelievable.
Black high school in Fairfax County. That's right. We played D.C. schools because nobody else would play us. We had a school in Alexandria called Parker Gray High School.
Yeah, I was getting ready to ask you, did y'all play Parker Gray?
Yeah, Huffman Boston was in Arlington County. And most
did you play Maggie Walker?
Maggie Walker and Armstrong down in Richmond. And it we played Petersburg, a school in Petersburg. We played Lucy Addison in Roanoke. We also played schools down on the Tidewater area. J.P. Burley was up in Virginia, so those are the schools we played. We had some pretty good athletes, but we didn't get the coverage that a lot of D.C. athletes did because at the time, I don't know if you remember, they had 3 newspapers, the Daily News, Washington Daily News, the Evening Star, mm-hmm. and the Washington Post, and they covered most of the athletic events that were going on in D.C.
Oh, you forgot the Afro.
We Washington Afro, you're right. And
Afro.
We played against teams like Spingarn. And I remember the first time I ever was in D.C. Stadium, I was selected to represent my high school. And I remember this guy from Eastern named Harvey Palmore. I don't know if anybody remembers that guy. He was a big defensive lineman for Eastern High School. I think he played with Louis Fraser.
Before we get started, what year did you graduate?
1964.
Oh, okay. I came later. Okay, go ahead. Tell us about it, Joe.
What happened was we didn't get a lot of college offers when I came out of school, so I went in the service. I played a little ball when I was in the service, and when I came out, I tried to go back to college, but it was a different world for me. In the 60s, things were going on that I didn't necessarily agree with on college campuses.
So I
went to work, and then one day I saw an ad in the paper about semi-pro football, and I joined the Bears. The first time I joined the Bears, they were practicing over off of Wheeler Road in that field. And Bob Johnson cut me.
Wait, back up. Wait a minute. What did Bob Johnson do?
He cut me.
Let me ask you a question. When you first came there, how much you play defensive tackle back then?
Defensive tackle. That's all I ever played.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, how much were you weighing?
260, 270.
My God, if Bob cut you?
Yeah.
Hey, Bob cut anybody. I don't know why I'm not surprised for any reason. So tell me about that.
Well, Bob didn't know me. Me being a Virginia boy, he didn't know that much about my playing skills or reputation. And a friend of mine, talked to him about me playing, because I remember I had a friend that went to Pamunkey High School, down Charles County.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was talking to him. He told me, well, man, you should go back out again. So the second year I came out, I made it. That's when Keys and Marty Andrews were there. And,
both of them were gone. I love Keys and Marty Andrews. Marty was my boy.
Yeah. And, actually, those two guys helped me hone my game, because the way I look at it this way, I was always taught in high school and when I was in the service, if you practice against good people, it helps make you better. And
absolutely.
I give Keys and Marty the credit for helping me hone my game. I wasn't the biggest guy, but my first two steps, I don't think a running back could get away from me at the time. Bob used to always tell him if he's messing up the plays. He said, the play. It wasn't the fact that I knew the play. We practiced against the same guys in practice, and I could read them. My thing was read.
Yes.
In other words, if you play against anybody in the league long enough, you know their tendencies. You can tell when they're going to pass block. You can tell they're going to run block. You can tell which way they're going by just little keys that they set up. And I was always kind of a cerebral kind of guy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I thought the game, not just played the game.
Well, look. Hey, Joe, when I played with you, you were around 250, right?
Around 250,
That was big. Yeah. See, people don't realize in the 70s, late 60s and 70s, defensive linemen in the pros and even minor league averaged about 250, 260. You had a couple 300-pounders. So people look back and say, wow, it's too small. Well, everybody evolved. People got bigger and they got stronger and they lift weights and whatever. But you were strong and you were quick. And I was blessed to have you, Smirnoff, Paul Lucas, and Wesley on the same side, because all three of you knew the game.
You had to think the game. It wasn't all about being – it wasn't all about hitting. It was about using your mind, man.
You're right. Because if you're a football player, you're going to hit somebody.
I used to watch two people in the pros and watch their – I used to watch them religiously. Alan Page was one of them.
Quick. super quick.
He wasn't that big either, 250.
He was about 235, 240. He was about 240.
Yeah, but beginning of the season, they said it carried him at 250, but by the end of the middle of the season, he was down. Yeah, he's a judge in Minnesota now. I met one of his nephews years ago, and they called him Tootie Page. I met Alan Page years ago. And
what did they call him?
He said Tootie Page. That's his nickname. The people that know him, his close family, his nickname is Tootie Page.
Okay.
And what happened? Happened was I asked him about his game. He told me, he said, the secret is don't be where they want you to be. And that was the way I played the game. You know, most of the time, if you remember, I didn't get trapped on no trap.
That makes a lot of sense. Don't be where they want you to be. That's simple. Go ahead.
No. And, you know, I didn't get trapped a lot either. If a guard pulled, I was breathing down his neck because they can't knock both of us down.
You're absolutely right. I've seen you punish a lot of linemen. I've seen you use about, you not only were quick, but you had a good upper body strength, too. You were strong. I remember one time we went on the road one time and you stop at a truck stop and Lucas playing defensive end and I'm playing the corner and Lucas about 6'2", 6'3". Lucas got on the scale and the scale said 210. And for some reason, I got disturbed about that because I got on a scale that was 205. I said the defense end is just a little bit bigger than me. But then I snapped out of him and said, we're not talking about anybody. We're talking about Paul Lucas. And Wesley wasn't that big.
No,
and,
wasn't. Neither was Barnes.
Yeah, Barnes. Barnes is about 210 pounds, tall, raging.
That was it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we had big, what's my man's name?
You mean my running mate on the other side? Tiny?
With the Maryland State. I'm talking about Tiny,
Russell Garrett.
Yeah, you know what? Now, he's about 6'8", about 350? What was he going?
Yeah, 330, 340.
Yeah, now he was huge. Now, in today's game, he fit right in.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, if you made him mad, that's when you have a problem.
Oh my gracious! When he starts stuttering, he's gonna have a heck of a game that day. You make him mad enough to stutter, and Bob wouldn't mess with him when he starts stuttering. Bob would not mess with him. But you know, the best thing I took away from the game, though, Brooksy, was the people I met, like guys from other teams, like Stonewall Saints.
Yeah,
the friend. Even though we were opponents, we've been friends for years, man. That's a
Tab Scott. Tab Scott.
Yeah, Tab, Frankie Bell and I, and we used to play against each other.
Yeah. But you know what? I'll tell you somebody, when I got married, he was the best man in my wedding, and I hated his guts.
Who?
Frank Benson. Can you imagine he's the best man in my wedding? Frank Benson. I hated his guts. You know,
what is that?
bad tight end. I mean, he was 6'4", about 240.
Yeah.
I mean, he could run through everything, but I hated him. Yeah, I hated him. And, you know, I really hated everybody on the team except Nate Henry. Me and Nate Henry were good friends.
Yeah, Nate was all right, man.
Yeah, we were good friends, right? But I can see what you're talking about when you practice against your own. Practice against Skip Foster made me a whole lot better. And Bumpsy.
Sure.
And Peter.
Sure.
And Dick Johnson and Pendergrass. Hey, that's a great receiver.
Yes, sir.
They don't drop in the passes. They don't do that, right?
Yeah.
And you know who I love more than anybody else? Zach Malachi. Oh, man, I love that.
Oh, yeah. He was a competitor, man. He was a hothead, but he was a competitor.
Yeah, he was so funny. And him and Bob Johnson used to go at it. But you know, the same thing when I coached the Bulls, it was Sam telling me we had a love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, we love it. And the same thing with, I don't know what it is. It seems like the head coaches and quarterbacks have love-hate relationship for the most part. You know, Belichick and Brady is a little different. But maybe they do have some problems behind the scenes, but that seems to be the issue. But you're right. When you practice against great people, the game
is
easy.
You better.
Yeah. And I think the years that
but
I played with you.
Practice don't make perfect and make you better.
Yeah. I remember the years I played with you, we only lost maybe three games.
I
don't remember.
Four games in 6 years.
Yeah. That's saying a lot, right?
Yeah.
And I had Randy Brewer on my show. Randy used to play with the Baltimore Rams, but he was the head coach of the Baltimore Bears when I had the Bulls. He played against him. And he was talking
Randy
about the Rams. Yeah, and we were talking about Kirkland with the head slap. I ain't gonna never forget this. We're in the locker room, so John Scott, you know, the tackle, you know, they had two brothers,
yeah,
one of them running back. Scott, I said, Scott, he said he got his head down. I said, man, what's wrong with you? He said, I got a bad headache. I said, what happened? He said, Kirkland keep hitting me with that head slap. Bob Dawson said, put your hand up there. And I see him sometimes. You know, I see him sometimes because they coach teams over in Baltimore. But,
yeah.
I mean, we had a lot of fun times, man. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Give me some stories about this is really good. Give me some stories about Bob Johnson.
Oh, man. I'll tell you one about Bob.
Because you were there before I got there.
I'll tell you a story about Bob. We were playing the Stonewall, I think. And we were like, Grant, remember Slot Machine?
Yeah, I grew up with him. I remember when his arm was dead. I grew up with him.
Yeah. Well, he was our kicker. And what happened was, we didn't have any timeouts. And me thinking, dang, we had stopped the drive, and we couldn't call a timeout, so Grant couldn't get on the field to set up to kick a field goal. So I faked the injury. To stop the clock. I faked the injury.
They do that now.
I'm serious, but, you know, I really faked the injury. There was nothing wrong with it. He yelled at me, what's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with you, and I'm thinking, Bob. I said,
he's mad. He don't understand what you're doing.
He's mad. He don't understand. He don't understand what's going on. I'm saying to myself, in the back of my mind, I said, you're supposed to be the coach. You ain't thinking. I'm thinking. I'm like, he said, oh, man, you know what I wasn't thinking? I said, yeah, but I was. I said, you stand on the side.
Hey. I don't know if I was playing with y'all then, but did he kick the field goal and win it?
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Won the game.
Did any Stonewall, did anybody say that you would fake it?
Oh, they always say that.
Well, you know what?
Always.
You must have thought of that, because they still do that now. But you come on the radio. You come on the radio and admit it, because you know the Statue of Liberty is up.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, tell me about some of your teammates. You know,
teammates?
I came later, but you had some characters on that team.
I sure did.
You know, Wesley.
Chopper Banks,
yeah. I remember him. I wasn't there when he got there.
Yeah, he was a wild man.
Yeah.
Keys couldn't play unless he had a taste in him before every game.
Who?
Keys.
Keys, you say he couldn't play if he had what?
He couldn't play if he didn't have a taste in him. He had to have a
little
shot before
Smirnoff.
A game. Yeah,
that was Smirnoff.
Keys used to keep this paper cup with him for weeks at a time, and it would never leak. He'd fold it up and put it inside his shirt. They used to call him.
Guess what? In the pros, they did that. At halftime, they smoked cigarettes. They drank liquor.
Oh, yeah.
They drank beer at halftime. I told some young boys. I told some young boys about, you know, the pros. They used to smoke cigarettes at halftime. They said, smoking in the locker room, they just don't know. Back then, it was a different era. Yeah.
It was a totally different thing.
And what about Horse Green? Quick as a cat.
Horse
Green.
And strong as an ox, too, man.
Yeah.
Horse was very, very competitive, man. He was competitive no matter what he did. No matter what he did. I tell you, but my favorite player on the team was an offensive player. He was a trip. He He was a wild person. Marty Andrews. He was the
king
of the D.C. Bears.
He sure was. Marty was something else.
Oh, man. If somebody else was getting some attention, Marty would he would fall down like he hurt and all that kind of stuff. He was into that drama. He was into drama, man. He was a drama king, I'm telling you.
You're absolutely right. He was. Marty, he wanted a lot of attention. You know, I tried to tell my friend, I said, let me tell you something. Football players want attention. They want attention. I mean, now that you're not playing anymore, you still want attention. It's something inside of you or whatever.
I think most guys that play ball, any kind of sport, really extroverts too, man. That has a lot to do with it too.
Yeah.
That has an awful lot to do with it. Because – and it's a big difference between people who are athletes or been athletes and how they deal with people out in the world too.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
First of all, their pain tolerance is a lot higher. Is number one.
I know because I had eight operations.
They understand.
You're right.
With people, they can get along with people a lot better too. You know what I mean?
You're right.
You
I got
to.
Older. I got older. Yeah.
Yeah, and you appreciate the religious side of your life too. You know,
oh, yeah, especially when you
appreciate your blessings. You recognize your blessings a whole lot more when you get to a certain point in your life too.
You know, I'm a good example. I'm tell you something. When I played, you know how they say the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah,
I really didn't care about that. I said, because the Lord don't care who wins these games. I said, I think I danced with Satan for 2 hours, right? And I thought about that. And everything in my mind was about being vicious and trying to hurt people. As I got older, I look back and say, man, something wrong with you. You're crazy. That's why at 22, 23, 24, you think different than you do when you're 35, then 35, 45. If you're not getting better as a man, there's something wrong.
Yeah, you got to grow inside and outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tell me,
I see that a lot of my friends, too. And I watch you grow, man.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you used to be a nasty
dude. Everybody watch me grow.
You used to be a nasty dude. Wasn't too many people on the team could say nothing to you once you got rolling. But you said, what you say to me? Joe Collin, you smile. Joe Collins, you know, and you close that one eye and say, hey, you're right, and just go on about your business. Because you knew it really was about the game.
Yeah.
It was really about the game. The one thing I liked about you, if somebody was half-stepping, you let them know.
Yeah.
If any of your teamwork was half-stepping, you thought it, you let them know. Me, I was kind of like quiet.
I wanted to win so bad, right? And
fire was burning.
The defensive backs with Hawk, myself, Danny, and Tidy, we formed a bomb trying to hurt people. We used to put money in. If you get a limp off, you get a certain amount of money. If you get a carry off, you send somebody to the hospital. So we compete with that. One night, I think Hawk and I got into it. I said, they carried him off. He lifted up. I said, it's my money. He said, no, it didn't. He lifted up. I said, somebody was helping him off. I mean, we were going at it, right? And you look back at that man and say, they got bounties. Oh, back then.
We had bounties.
Everybody was having bounties.
Me and Johnny used to have bounties. He would make snot bubble come out of dude's nose, hitting the square in the chest. I'm serious. We used to bet before the game. The first snot bubble. By lunch or dinner, if he was out on the road, after the game, whoever got the snot, whoever knocked the snot, you know, when you hit somebody in the chest hard enough, that thing come out their nose.
That's right. You're right. Hey,
Joe, whoever got that,
I want to ask you this. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Hey, Joe, I want to ask you this, man.
What?
You were the Bears. You were Bears before I got there. Why does Bob Johnson and Horse Greed hate each other?
Because Horse knew Bob a long time, and Horse is the kind of person, Horse ex Marine, man. Horse don't need nobody to motivate horse. Let me give you an example about horse. Horse will stand his son up if he feels his son is wrong. Horse don't like nobody telling him what to do.
His
opinion, and that's it. He never been that way. You got to understand, this man was a sergeant in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah. I know where you're coming from. And Bob.
Person, if you can't do it, don't tell me to do it.
Yeah, and Bob is a dictator. I mean, like most good coaches. It's not a democracy.
Yeah, yelling and screaming don't go over with horse.
Yeah.
that yelling and screaming, I ignored him. You know, horse, I looked at it different. I looked at Bob, I said, man, I don't worry about him. Because first of all, he don't know nothing about the game that I play.
Yeah, but you know one thing I loved about Bob, though, is Grant and I, we were close. We've been close since we were 12 years old. When Bob started giving speeches and started hollering and cursing, we used to sit back and laugh. We thought it was funny. Then before a game, you know, we thought it was funny. He said, you think this a joke? And he said all kind of slick stuff out the mouth, right? And the thing about it is, he used to have me die laughing. I mean, he had me die laughing. He was so funny. And the teams we play against, he had a suit on the color of the other team.
Yeah, I know.
Remember that? He had a suit on the side.
Speaking of Gerald, I miss Grant, man.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. Man, I remember when he hurt his arm back in 12 years old. He had broke his arm and he had it in a cast. Yeah. They told him don't take it off, and the nerve went bad. I mean, he was about 13, 14 years old.
Wow.
So him and I,
he played that trumpet with one arm, swam with one arm.
He could do everything.
Another funny story, we were on the road in Binghamton, New York. I never will forget this. This tackle, I don't know if it was a linebacker that was going to, you know, rush, and he said to it, one of his partners, yeah, man, this dude ain't got but one arm. Grant popped that dude. All I saw was feet in the air. Because you know what?
Absolutely.
Grant was strong as an ox, man.
And guess what? Right. Me and my big mouth, one night, I say, the Baltimore Rams coming out of the locker room, they say, we're going to go after Grant with that we're going to go after the bad arm, right? And I open my mouth, running my mouth, to the shut up. I say, you go after the bad arm, you got trouble. Because that arm might be dead, but that arm is strong. He'll whip that arm around. I said, what did I say that for? I should have kept my mouth closed. But he can block. He played touch with brothers. He can catch with one hand. He can block.
Yep.
I mean, and guess what? I don't know anybody that disliked him.
No, man. Gerald was good people, man.
I never known him
good people.
Anybody. You know, he had a
I
big
never heard
family.
Anybody say anything bad about him.
You're right. You know, I went to his funeral. When I got there, it was over. That's when I realized that he's a Muslim. You know, their funerals only last a few minutes.
No, they don't.
I got there, it was over with. You know.
Yeah.
But I miss him, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Tell me about
him,
man. What about Wesley? I used to love Wesley.
Larry? Oh, man, Larry.
Yeah.
Pretty boy.
Quick. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, very quick.
Yeah, very quick.
All the time.
Yeah.
He was the cleanup man. The good thing about having you, Horse, and Wesley behind me, I wasn't worried about nothing. If somebody happened to get past me, they wasn't getting that far. You understand what I'm saying? You know? The thing I remember, you remember when we played up in Hershey? I don't know if you were there or not.
I wasn't there.
Guys, they went undefeated one season, Brooksy.
And
you know, they were the newspapers up there talking about DC Bears, blah, blah, blah. Some Sandlot team coming and blah, blah, blah. We had 26 players. That's all we didn't take a lot of people up the road because everybody couldn't make it. And we had a couple of dudes that were sick. We played the Hershey Bears, and they had won the championship before the year before. So this is their opening game. This is our first road game. They handed out trophies before the game starts, right? And the last trophy they gave out was this quarterback. He was all this and all that. And when the game started, their offense, we were on defense, their offense came out. They had a center guard gap big enough to drive a Mack truck through. And I'm looking at this, I said, this ain't real. And the quarterback was slow. Man, the first snap, the first play of the game, I grabbed him like a wishbone. The end of the first half, they were minus yards rushing. But you know how you, when you hit the road at hometown call.
Got the home cook. You know, before I came to the Bears, I was the Saints with Yates McCorkle. And I tell you, the team we played against, that's the best team I ever played against in my life. I mean, not the best team, the best name I ever played against in my life, and I think y'all played against them. That game, I had three interceptions. I couldn't believe it. That was my first game on the road. The Schuylkill Cold Crackers.
Oh, yeah, up in Minersville. Minersville,
The Jell and Pickle side of it's about 10,000 people up there. The Crackers.
Yeah.
The Cold Crackers. Schuylkill Cold Crackers. Is that a name?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We went up to Minersville. If we played at this big high school stadium. Before we could ask anybody which way to go, because we were on the bus, you know. Cop rolled up to us and said, yeah, you the football team from D.C., because you know who was on the bus.
Yeah, I know.
All of us. He said, you must be the football team from D.C., the D.C. Bears. He said, yes, sir. They escorted us to the stadium. They had a good team, man. Some big boys coming out of their minds up there. At halftime, the halftime entertainment was some dudes on dirt bikes riding up and down these big old, look like coal hills. That was halftime entertainment. But those big boys, I remember this, the quarterback went into the USFL, I think.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. The Pottstown Firebirds, when they folded when they had King Corcoran quarterbacking, you know, that was the Eagles club team, they moved over to Schuylkill Cold Crackers.
I know. Corcoran really never made the Eagle roster. You know why?
Yeah. Well, he was a pretty boy, too.
Yeah.
He had his thing going.
Q Harrick was the head coach of the Eagles at one time. He was a born-again Christian. And Jimmy was brash. His dad had some money. You know, he reminded me of Tony Jones, just a little smaller.
Cadillacs,
Jimmy. Yeah, that was Jimmy. His father has some money, and he used to smoke them cigars and all that crazy stuff. And that's why he never really made the Eagles team.
Yeah,
and ended up being the farm team.
Quarterback.
He was
the element quarterback. You know, a lot of people don't realize back in that day, we played farm teams for the NFL. Tri-City Jets,
absolutely.
You know, all that.
North of Neptunes.
Yeah.
That's where Otis Sistrom played.
So we played against a lot of talent, right? And
absolutely.
You got that right. Let me ask you a question. Now, I know we got to talk about my man, God rest his soul, Bouye, Big Bouye, my main man.
Yes.
Hey, Dilly Dilly. Dilly Bouye. I said, that really sound right.
Hey, diddle, Bouye up the middle. Man.
Yeah.
Bouye 240 was a beast, man. And it would hurt you, too. And if you try to tackle him from the waist down, he'd make your head look like a basketball.
I know.
Because
in practice,
man.
You know, in practice, now, you know, I don't mind hitting anybody. But in practice, there's two people that I didn't want to run up against. Bouye and Butch Johnson. I hit Butch Johnson one time and got up, and I thought I was going to die. I tackled him, but I thought I was going to die. He was so strong. And Bouye, and then Thunder. They were physical, big, strong backs.
Thunder Jones, yep.
Yeah.
The secret to tackling Bouye was you got to tack Bouye up high. I could tackle him up high because I was strong enough. But the average person, you go down on low him, that's like sticking your head in one of them old-time washing machines because he'd make it rattle, buddy.
You're right.
I remember when we played down Lawton. And they were yelling. You know, them young boys that time, oh, man, fresh meat. They incarcerated, you know. We played down.
But wait a minute.
They were talking all
But wait a minute. I remember we went down there, and the inmates on the sidelines said, oh, shucks, y'all in trouble. Here come the D.C. Bears. I remember that.
Yeah, that's because the year or so before, we went down there and wiped them out. They were talking trash before the game, and we threw some Bouillet and Sunday at them. Them boys didn't want to come back out there.
Right, you're right. They had a little receiver down there, and he was maybe about 5'8", and I told him, I said, you know, I'm a punish you. And one of the inmates said, you don't know who you mess with. He killed 3 people. I said, well, this football, he ain't got no gun out here. He's in trouble. You know, and that day, I remember we went down there and punished him, right? Yeah. And I'm going to tell everybody that's listening, if you were a cop on the team, you never went down Lawton.
No. Oh, man.
Mad Dog Wilson, Buddy Wilson. Never went down
We did have a couple on team. Remember Wendell Samuels?
He was I remember. Yeah.
Wendell was a cop. Yeah.
They said something about going to Lawton. Buddy Wilson, he was lifting weights back then. He benched out 400 pounds. But Mad Dog Wilson say, I ain't going down Lawton. So everybody knew why he wasn't going, right?
Yeah.
I remember we were going down Lawton. Danny Jenkins, the one played safety with me. Danny had a skull and a crossbone, talking about Dr. Death. And Bob Johnson made him take it off. You ain't wearing that down Lawton. You're not wearing that. I said, but he's Dr. Death. He said, shut up. He ain't wearing that down Lawton.
Oh, man.
It's a bunch of, well, how many years did you play all together?
Ooh, man, 11, 12.
What year did you go to the Bears?
I went to the Bears and, let's see. Ooh, man. 72, 73, something like that.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, you know, I've had hip replacement, knee replacement, and 5 other operations. You know, I work at a gym, so, you know, I have no excuse for working out, so I work out real good. But all the years, you know, a lot of people have injuries. Do you have any injuries or any aches and pains?
I got aches and pains just from getting old, but no, not really any injuries. I did have a kidney transplant. It'll be 2 years in May, but that was on me. When you stop being active, what happens is your lifestyle should change. Mine didn't, as far as what I ate and everything. I wasn't exercising.
Right.
You know, we practice, 2-3 times a week. And was always active. Well, that shot my blood pressure up, and blood pressure killed my kidney. So, I was on dialysis for a while. But, as far as that goes, I'm on the road to recovery, thanks to my family.
Yeah, I didn't know that. When did you get a kidney transplant?
It'd be 2 years in May, May 23rd. It was May 23rd.
Man, I had no idea, man. Because when I saw you look so healthy, you're still healthy.
Well, that's because
above ground.
I always try to take care of myself. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't do a whole bunch of drinking. I didn't hang out with all them. Yeah, all that partying and stuff. You know, I didn't drive. Like, whiskey wasn't my thing. I was a wine head if I drank anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't go through all that extreme stuff.
I never smoked a drink, but I used that acid before a game. You better believe it. They said, why you need that stuff? I need all the help I can get to stay alert. People are trying to hurt me. That's what I used to say. People are trying to hurt me, and I need to try to stay alert.
Yeah. You
know. So, Joe, where's your car dealership? Because you're the big man in the car dealership. Where's that located?
I'm in Columbia, Maryland It's actually between Baltimore and Washington on Route 40.
Okay.
A little place called Ellicott City. O'Donnell Honda. I've been there for 23 years.
I know what that is. So if you need a car, a truck, go see my man Joe Collins. Joe Collins is the man.
All you got to do is say you play ball. We can talk.
That's all you got to say. Hey, what if a woman says she played ball and she didn't play? Can she use that too?
I don't deal with them. I don't deal with them. Because she's not listening. Hey, bro. I don't deal with them, man. They're too frivolous. You remember the Baltimore Rams?
I remember. I remember.
You remember the Mayo Boys, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. One of the old Rams I ran across a couple of years ago, I forgot his name. Uh-huh. What was his name? Stump? He was a little short quarterback for the Rams. We were talking.
Oh, you know, you talking about Stump. You talking about dang, Stubbs or Star, something real, real short. They call him Lips.
Yeah, Stubbs. Lips, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, he used to always tell me, man, I'll come over to D.C. But I realized the difference in culture was Baltimore, the bar town. After the game, you want to hang out with those, they go to a bar, sit and drink.
That's right.
And you know, in D.C., the difference is you got music, you got entertainment, you got that whole bit. The goal, so it was like a little bit more diversified than Baltimore.
Yes. That was, hey, man, great days, man. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Sorry we got started late, but thank you for coming on the show.
Okay.
I got my man, Terry Thomas. He coming next. He used to play football to me with the Bulls.
Oh, yeah, with the Bulls. Yeah, I remember watching a couple games. I followed you guys.
Yeah.
All right,
appreciate it, Joe.
Okay. All right, man. Thanks, man.
Your family said hi.
Thinking about the old days.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. I tried to get Bob Johnson on the show. Then Bob said, why you ain't getting me? I said, I tried to get you. So, you know. Okay, then.
All right, bro.
Thanks, Joe.
Take care, man.
Love you, man.
All right.
Okay.
Love you, too. Bye.
Bye. That was Joe Collins, a teammate. Former teammate with the Bears. Great guy. We got Troy Thomas on next.
Hello.
Troy Thomas.
Hello, how are you?
How you doing?
Let me tell you about this guy.
This is my man. I always say, man, why y'all got a stupid grin on your face? You talking about a defensive back that can play? I mean, he can play. He went to Coolidge. He went to Norfolk State. When he came over to the Bulls, they had a team, the Buccaneers, and I think they were folding or something. So him, Pickett, Mark McCutcheon, that whole team coming over there, right? So I looked at all these people. I said, I'm not bringing all these people and ruin my team. Half of them can't play anyway. So I said, let me get Troy, Pickett, and Mark McCutcheon. I told the rest of them to go home. And I told Coach Brown, I said, that guy Troy need to be starting. That name needs to start. So it was you and Pickett, right? Going back and forth. I said, man, that Troy need to be started. But one thing about it is, in 93 when we played, we always play teams with 3 and 4 wide receivers. So nobody was on the bench. Everybody played, right? But, yeah. Man, I had a lot of respect for you. You're a great ball player. You can cover. You play that bump and run. You know, we did a job down in Charlotte. We won the whole thing. You know, they lined up with 4 wide receivers. We had 4 defensive backs. They can get in their face and match up, and you're one of them. So, glad to have you on the show. Tell me your journey, how you guys started playing football.
So, I actually got to play football pretty much, you know, when I was growing up, football was the sport to play in my neighborhood. It wasn't like it is today with a lot of kids playing basketball. It was football. But, you know, I kind of played boys club football. You know, one year I played with the boys club number 12 because at one time it was the Metropolitan D.C. Police Boys Club. So East.
Yeah, because I coached up number 6.
Say that again?
Yeah, because I coached up number six. I coached Mark and Pickett there.
So I eventually moved. I think I did 1 year there, and then from there I went to go play for the Woodridge Warriors. And a guy by the name of Mason Clark, he ran that program for years. I think he actually just stepped down a couple of years ago. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, where I started to kind of groom myself, really. And surprisingly, I groomed myself originally as a punter. I mean, I can, like, just
kick the ball
out of the park. You know, that was kind of like my first.
How come I didn't know that?
Say that again?
How come you ain't bringing to my attention?
Hey, well, whoever we had on that team, the Bulls, I mean, they probably were phenomenal. I think I had
Willis
my way out.
Willis was a great punter.
Because I wound up, you know, punting in high school as well, at Carroll High School and at Coolidge High School. So
oh, you went to Carroll, sir?
Yes, sir. So, like a few guys that you had mentioned earlier, I grew up with Mark McCutcheon. So, you know, Mark, we were buddies, but we were always arch rivals. I was at number 12 Boys Club. He was at number 6. And you know, I was the oddball guy in the neighborhood because everybody played for number 6. That's all I heard. Number 6. I mean, I couldn't stand being number 6 all the time. It was like they were like the Washington Redskins in our neighborhood. And, you know, pretty much I wind up going to Carroll High School in my 9th and 10th grade year, and I played over there. I played the first year. I played freshman football. We had a fantastic team. We went undefeated. Had some good coaches over there. My 10th grade year, I played JV, and then they moved me up to varsity. And it was pretty good. JV, our team was good as well. I didn't actually play as much on varsity, but I just always felt that I can outplay guys. And, you know, once again, an integral person for me was Mark McCutcheon. You know, the summer, I think, my 10th grade going into my 11th grade, I was saying, man, I don't think these guys are going to play me, Mark. I might want to leave. He said, come up, Coolidge. Come on, we're going to win it all. We got a bomb squad. We got a couple of more pieces. We're going to win it. So, you know, I considered it, talked to my parents. My father, he was kind of leery at first because, you know, my father actually played for Moss Collins up Carroll, and Moss Collins was like a legendary coach.
He was. Then he went to Gonzaga, I think.
Yeah, he went to Gonzaga, and he won them a couple of titles down there. So I think the move, how it actually came across, because my father went to go talk to Mason Clark, some of the guys down there at Woodridge, asking, what do you know about this Sam Taylor guy? And they pretty much told him, if you want to let your kid play for a coach in a high, you might want to let him play for Sam, because Sam has some pretty good teams. So, you know, I wound up going up Coolidge, and it was fantastic up there. So we won 2 years in a row. My 11th and 12th grade year, we won the city title. And you know, playing in the inner high is totally different from playing in the WCAC in the Capital School League. Totally different. And, you know, Taylor was interesting. Go ahead.
Well, let me ask you. What position did you play at Carroll? Because the only position I know you played was cornerback. What position did you play?
Now, this is going to be funny. Okay. So, at Carroll, in my 9th grade year, I played offensive tackle. And
come on, man.
I'm telling you the truth. An outside linebacker. My 11th grade year. I mean, excuse me, my 10th grade year, of course, I was a punter, too. My 10th grade year, I played outside linebacker, and sometime in the middle, and they kind of moved me out to tight end, but they would never throw me the ball. And Brooks, I mean, I was probably in ninth grade for sure. I was the fastest guy on the team. I'm thinking, like, why am I playing on the line?
But of course, I was one of the bigger guys.
So how much did you weigh?
I would say probably ninth grade. I probably was around maybe 155, something like that.
Okay.
About 150.
Okay.
So it was ninth grade ball. So it was all freshmen, all incoming ninth graders.
Yeah.
So you know, a lot of these guys are probably a lot smaller. And over the course of the time, I kind of grew because by the time I was leaving Coolidge, I was weighing like 170. And I was playing corner. And, a lot of
let me ask you, when you first went up to Coolidge, what did you want to play? You wanted to play the corner?
Pretty much, you know what? Great question. Coach Taylor asked me, what did I play? And I told him what the position that I played at Carroll. He just looked at me and said, man, you got to be kidding. I said, no, seriously, there's no way. I said, yeah. So he asked me, what could I play? You know, in boys' club, I had played, you know, a little bit of running back. You know, I always seemed to be Brooks somewhat like a utility guy. I can play like running back, receiver, defensive back.
Yeah.
So I never really had one set position kind of, you know, my whole career, you know, in football. So, you know, he said, can you play corner? I said, yeah, I can play corner. I can play receiver too. And to be honest, Brooks, I had hands. I was nice. I couldn't take being over there with Coach Taylor in that offensive practice because, you know, we would split the teams up in the offense and defense. And, you know, we'd kind of practice separate for the most of the day. And, man, Coach Taylor, he'll let you have it. I mean, he'll work you to death. So, you know, I just didn't want to be over there with Coach Taylor the whole time. So, you know, he kind of weaned me off of offense a little bit, and I played more defense because I did, you know, the punt return, kick return, punter came in on offense every now and then.
Huh.
Helped out.
Hey.
And he was running the wing T. So it wasn't a conventional, most of the time it was the wing T. So I was more like wing back, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, wing back is kind of like a flanker that runs the ball a lot.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, and, you know, I wound up going to Norfolk State. I went to Norfolk State for four years.
Let me ask you this before you get to Norfolk State. Were you up Coolidge at the same time Pickett was up there?
Actually, Coach Taylor, he just was phenomenal. He had an overlapping layers of talent. Pickett was actually gone by the time I got there. So I think I got there in 85, and Pickett graduated that year that I got there. So he had already walked, you know, and left. But I had already knew Pickett prior to that because, once again, by me being at Carroll, every guy in my neighborhood that played football played at Coolidge. So, you know, when I had an opportunity, I would go to check my buddies out, Terry Lewis, Chucky Miles, all those guys played up there. And that's how I got to know a lot of the guys on that football team. And the funny thing about it, Brooks, all of us lived in the Roosevelt District, but all of us went to Coolidge.
Yeah, but you know what? Let me tell you something about that. When I coached up number six, I sent a lot of them to Coolidge. And I sent a lot of them to Roosevelt because, you know, I love Sam Taylor and I love Tillerson. Both of them crazy. I love both of them. And I used to sit playing school all the time, right? I remember Tillerson said one time, who you going to send me? Don't send them up to Coolidge. I say, Coach, we got so much talent, we can send them both places. No, nah, don't send them up there, no. Nah. And Coach Taylor would come to me and say, who you sitting? Who you sitting up there? I said, well, I told John Warren when he go up there to play the strong safety, because John Warren was knocking people out cold, right?
Woo.
So he said, okay. And then Lewis Choice, I had a lot of them, right? But some with the Roseville, like Bigelow, and then some with the Roseville, some with the Coolies. But I had respect for both coaches. And I was playing football when I was coaching up number six, But here's the bad thing about it. I was working over Keller Miller Junior High School, and Bob Hayden, my high school coach in Cadoza, was at Woodson. And he stopped speaking to me for 2 years because I sent some people from Keller Miller up to Roosevelt because I still had the Northwest thing in my head, right? And he stopped speaking to me. So you're right about that. A lot of them guys went to Roosevelt, you know, Cooley to Roosevelt, and that era, they both had pretty good teams, too. A lot of talent comes from up there.
Yeah, so I guess you were responsible for a lot of the players at those schools because I know a few coaches. I know Coach Wills used to be over there at number six. Coach Jarrell was over there at number six.
Jarrell, my man.
Yeah, you were over there. Yeah, you were over there at number six. And then, like, even Tillerson, I mean, every Coach Tillerson was down, Roosevelt, Sam Taylor up Coolidge, Bob Hayden. I mean, all those coaches now, even Stewart and Anacostia, all those coaches are, like, high school Hall of Fame coaches in the city.
Yeah,
I mean,
they legends.
It was competitive. It was extremely competitive because it was like a home, what do they call it, grassroots? It was like grassroots
football. That's what it was, absolutely.
And you were getting your kids from the feeder programs, and pretty much the kids had good fundamentals. They can play, and they were talented.
Right.
And all you had to do was get the right combination, and you may have won yourself a title.
Yeah, I always believe in technique, you know. But Willie Stewart, him and I around the same age. Willie Stewart going around telling everybody, Brooks, you ain't want to come over and play for me. I said, Willie Stewart, when I was in the 12th grade, you was in college. Nobody want to play for you. You was in college. He busts out laughing. He tell people, I didn't want to play for him. Because when I got to high school, I never played football a day in my life. And when I went out there in 11th grade, I didn't know how to put a uniform on. I didn't know position. I didn't know. And they beat me half to death out there. 12th grade, yet I got a whole lot better because I realized I want to play corner, right? But let me tell you something. I caught hell, right? From Bob Hayden, sending people from California uptown. I sent Lester Taylor up there, you know. Freddie Wagner went up there because Bob said he was too small, and Bob said that's the biggest mistake he ever made in his life. Tell us about Norfolk State.
Well, at Norfolk State, it kind of changed the gears. I think the year I went to Norfolk State, it was, I want to say it was like one of the last years of the Proposition 48. So, you know, they brought in a lot of kids, a lot of talented kids. And One thing about the kids from D.C., all of them they didn't call it swagger then. All of them just had straight confidence to the borderline cocky. I mean, a guy that you named earlier, John Warren.
Yeah.
John Warren, he came up Coolidge, and he worked with the D-backs. But John had a stint with the Dallas Cowboys. So he would work with us and get our footwork together, show us all the drills and everything. So by the time we got to Norfolk State, I mean, I was feeling like, hey, I'm the best guy walking in the door. And, you know, the coaches, they were pretty impressed with a lot of the guys from the hometown in D.C. because of their footwork and their skill and their technique. I mean, you know, it was an eye-opening experience for me, for one thing, because, you know, I played or I saw guys from other areas because I never really played against nobody but inside the inner high in our general area because our teams didn't really travel there. So, you know, I wasn't used to seeing, like, 6'3 corners, 6'4 wide receivers, like, you know, 240-pound tailbacks that can really run. I'm thinking, like, man, there's no way that guy he's a wide receiver. So, you know, that kind of was an adjustment period. But, you know, once I got past the adjustment period, you know, there's one guy in particular, you actually had him on your Metro Bulls team, a guy by the name of Eric Steele.
Yeah, Eric. My main man. He was on the show.
And before I can encounter Eric Steele, Stevie that I gave the most respect to, because I really just figured, you know, back then I came up on the bump and run technique. If I can get my hands on you, I can slow you down. And I was pretty fast, so I knew you couldn't get away from me. But the best guy I came up against prior to college was Leslie Shepard. He was over at Forestville.
Oh, yeah, you know the rest, yes?
Yeah, yeah, and he was a tough cookie. I actually followed him all through the newspaper the whole year because he actually beat me for a touchdown in high school to win the game. And every week I would look, see what he did. What he did, he was catching 2-3 touchdowns a game. I think they might have went on to win the state championship. So, you know, after that, I said, well, you know what? I think out of all the guys, I did the best job. So I held them to one touchdown. They only beat us by 3. But, so, you know, by the time I was in college at Norfolk State, I ran into Eric Steele. I didn't want to go against Eric Steele every day because, I mean, I had never seen a receiver like this. I mean,
he is quick. Quick as a pickup.
Precision, route, cuts, head moves, aggressive.
That's right. He reminded me of Jerry Rice. He flew it.
And when you say that, you know, Eric and I are still friends to this day. And that was his actual role model receiver. He catered himself after Jerry Rice.
No wonder. Wore his clothes like Jerry Rice, neat, routes, ran on his toes, I mean, balls in his feet. I mean, yeah, you know what? I said it all the time, and I never knew that was his idol. And we've talked many times.
And funny thing, like, I kind of had a hybrid style. My idol was Ronnie Lott. The Ronnie Lott, not that everybody knows is the safety, but the early years of Ronnie Lott as a corner. And Daryl Green for just that amazing blazing speed. So I kind of made a hybrid in my style like that. So, you know, at Norfolk State, that really taught me that I had to step my game up in reference to, you know, being ready to play against any style of receiver. It was extremely competitive in practice and things like that because it was, I mean, Brooks, it was some guys that could play. I mean, they can flat out play. And, you know, at Norfolk State, you know, I did pretty good. I played, you know, sparingly the first couple of years because we were heavily stacked with upperclassmen. And you know that rollover process. So, you know, by the time all ways had got into the junior senior year, I think we were a pretty fierce team. And I think I wanna say maybe my junior year or something like that, we had for a stretch there like a nationally ranked defense. I mean, we were just like, you know, pounding people. They couldn't move the ball. We're shutting down receivers, you know. So it was extremely, extremely competitive in college at Norfolk State just because, you know, we practiced with so many high-skilled people. And it was only one solution. You were going to get better. If you couldn't get better by practicing against those guys, then
guest, he said the same thing.
Against
your own teammates, the best.
And one of my coaches, he always would say, well, actually, it was Moss Collins. He said, competition breeds excellence. So, you know, at Norfolk State, you know, like I say, that was a phenomenal experience. I actually got to play against some of the guys who I played against in high school because it was the CIAA. Virginia Union, teams like that. So guys from H.D. Woodson, wide receiver, Hornshell.
Rodney Hornshell.
I mean.
Yeah, he went to Central, then he transferred.
Yeah. He was a phenomenal receiver. He played over Virginia Union. I mean,
that was my boy. He started at Central State. With Henderson Mosley. He started at Central State, then he transferred.
And Henderson Mosley was another guy during my era in high school. I knew Henderson. I followed him along in college. I mean, this guy, man, correct me if I'm wrong, but Henderson probably is like close to like 6'4", left-hand kid. He can
play
baseball and football.
And basketball, too.
Yeah, he pitched.
Oh, everything.
And played quarterback. And, you know, being that I'm a lefty, you know, that's one of the guys that I always follow, you know, that for you to be a left-hand guy and stand out, I felt you were kind of unique. And I made it my business to know all left-hand guys. And most of the time in sports, it's a right-handed sport. And I feel like in sports I was kind of semi-ambidextrous. So most of the time, guys didn't know I was left-handed. Like the guys who knew me, like Mark McCutcheon and Pickett and them, they kind of could pick up on my tendencies better because they knew I was left-handed. But most of the time, that's how I would kind of exploit situations, you know, with guys, you know, just because when you're ambidextrous, you use your left hand, your right hand.
Man, that's, you know what? I wish to God I had that. Woo! Man. That's amazing.
And it kind of, you know, gives you an advantage because I'm used to playing against right-handed people. And what I would do is right-handed people aren't used to playing against left-handed people.
Every time
I wanted to make my move, to make a play, I would go left. And they would say, oh, that he got kind of lucky there on that. He snuck ahead, got that tackle, or he knocked that ball down, he jumped that pass route. And I wouldn't say nothing. Brooks, you knew me. I was never a big talker on the field.
No, you didn't do a lot of talking. You just played.
I just played. And I would kind of start to talk at the end, you know, like especially I think guys who run their mouths a lot, that would really kind of get me motivated and get me going in the inside. And,
I know that.
And all of a sudden, when they couldn't find themselves getting off the line of scrimmage in college, you know, I would ask them, like, hey, I don't need you talking no more, buddy. What's going on? You okay? Everything all right? And, you know, hey, Brooks, like I said,
I don't need you talking anymore. It's all right.
Yeah, I don't need you talking anymore. And just to play in the CIAA, that's kind of historic. That's a historic conference. All the black conferences actually are historic conferences, man.
Yes.
I mean, some of the most outstanding athletes from football, basketball, came out of those conferences, man. I mean, and extremely competitive. So, you know, and of course, the schools were extremely good schools. You know, they weren't any different from any of the other schools. You know, they just didn't have opportunities to be have that high visual of exposure until, you know, BET came along, and BET would put games on television. And I remember the first time being at Norfolk State, and we actually played on television. And I actually knew the guy who did the broadcasting for BET. His name actually slips me right now, but it'll come back to me. And I knew him because I used to do broadcast was my major. And I had seen him before the game, and he was asking me, you know, how everything was going. Was I looking to start the game? And we're playing down Virginia Union in the Gold Bowl. And, I mean, sold-out crowd. I mean, sold-out in Richmond.
His name wasn't Andre Quarterbaum, was it?
Andre Quarterbaum was actually under me. He did broadcasts with me.
That's why that rang a bell.
At Norfolk State, he actually did broadcasts with me. But the guy named, he actually worked for BET. He was their head guy. The name is just throwing me right now. But I had built a rapport with him because Andre, I think, came on later. See, Andre eventually replaced me in the broadcast booth at Norfolk State. We did basketball game broadcasts. Of course, I was playing football, so I couldn't broadcast the football game. So Andre eventually replaced me, and I had replaced a guy by the name of Kevin. So, you know, when there were times when the basketball games were live on BET, we would actually be sitting right next to the BET commentators while they were broadcasting live.
Okay.
And then that's how I kind of developed a little relationship with the guy. So, you know, he saw me at the Gold Bowl down there in Virginia Union. And everybody, of course, back home was watching. And I ran out on the field, and he said, number 26, Troy Thomas will be starting today. He said, yeah, I spoke to him earlier, and it's a personal friend of mine, and he told me he was going to be starting. I'm going to keep my eye on him and see what he does today. And I think that was the one team at Norfolk State we could never beat. And they beat us down. They beat us down in Richmond in the Gold Bowl. They beat us pretty bad that year. And I think that man
was it always a close game, or did you get blown out by them?
Well, like I said, I think that game they probably got us something like 31. I give them 31-17. They kind of handed it to us pretty good,
okay.
You know. But that was the one team they pretty much had all the right people, all the right talent, and somehow they put it together, and they were the dominant team in the conference. And that was the team. If you needed to beat a team, that was the team to beat. That was your actual measuring stick. If you can beat Union, then your team was probably pretty good. So, you know, I think we wind up being that year 7-3. Going into my senior year, once again, we got on a roll early, and we got to Union, which was the last game of the year. And, of course, we were walking in 9-1, and they were coming in 9-1, and we jumped up on them guys, Brooks. We jumped up on them. I never forget the last play of the third quarter, we punted to them. We stopped them. I mean, the ball, we down the ball on the 1 yard line, so they had a 99 yard haul.
What?
First play of the fourth quarter. I guess, you know, they were in safe mode, so they're on the one. They ran the ball, and they ran it the opposite side of the corner I was at. So, you know, when you play football, you know how you got to cut the field off if you're the far side corner. You had to start running to the pylon.
Right. Take that angle.
Yeah. And the guy turned the corner. I thought he got tackled, and I slowed down. And he broke another tackle, and and all of a sudden, I'm saying, this guy looks like he's going to go all the way. And it was a 99-yard touchdown run. And that kind of got them going. And I think, Brooks, when they tied the score 24-24, mind you, we were up 24-6 to start the fourth quarter. That was the first time in my life, Brooks, that I ever witnessed a momentum shift. I think we were playing in Foreman Field. Our field was an actual turf field. And we would play our games, our home game, at Old Dominion University. And
okay.
I think we had a sold-out crowd of like 35,000. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
And I think we probably had the biggest stadium in the conference. And when they tied the game at 24-24, and their whole sideline erupted, and I just felt like, damn.
Yeah, we're in trouble. I know you said we're
in trouble. And those are the times when you can experience, like, everybody's playing. Now you're playing not to mess up instead of playing to win.
That's right. You're right. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't realize, because we still are human beings. A lot of people say, oh, you can do this, you can do that. But, you know, human beings, man, you know, they get in a situation and they get a shock, jump on them like that. The thing that they say is, they're not saying, we can come back and win. They're saying, let's don't mess up. Let's try to get it back. I mean, And it goes all through the team, coaches and everybody else. I mean, it's part of human being a human being. You know, we're not robots.
And of course, needless to say, Brooks, that was one game we lost. We lost that game 30-24. And I think half the team was devastated. And let me tell you the funny thing about that. We had
Did you play against Crawford?
Oh, yeah. I played against Crawford.
He was great. He should have been in the pros.
Yeah, boys club. I played against Crawford. High school, I played against Crawford, of course. Well, no, I didn't play against him in the semi-pro. I actually played with him. I played against him in college. Yeah, that guy right there, I mean, he was, to me, a phenomenal athlete. I mean, pretty much.
Absolutely.
I mean,
he's like 6'4". When he with the Bulls, he's 6'4", about 300, bow-legged. I mean, he can bring it. He's nasty and strong, too.
Yeah.
Man.
He had everything. The height, the size, the speed, the tenacity, the football IQ. I mean, he had it all. I mean, I even had stories about him. I remember in high school, we played for the City Fighters, so the coaches, it would be a meeting before the game, and the head coaches would come, sort of like a semi-press conference, and you bring your captain. And, you know, Coach Taylor said, hey, everybody, you know, be on your best behavior. Don't embarrass me and act up. And, you know, everybody was pretty good. And right at the end, Crawford got up and said, we gonna kick y'all butt.
Back then, he was like that.
I said, this guy's a lunatic. And on the field, talking the whole game. But, of course, that wasn't no thing in high school. We beat H.D. Woodson. We pretty much dominated them in two city title games. But, you know, Crawford was a fantastic athlete. Fantastic.
No question. He could bring it. Now, moving forward, tell me about you were with the Buccaneers, you came to the Bulls. Remember they folded? Y'all came over there.
Oh, yes.
You played for this guy named Brooks. This man, he's crazy. He ain't got good sense. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Bulls.
So how I actually came over to the Bulls, you know, straight out of college, you know what I'm saying? You know, still wanted to play football. I'm back at home, man, working a little bit, covering my buddies. And the try this team, the Bucks. I didn't really know how deeply rooted, you know, the semi-pro leagues were in Washington, D.C. area, you know, until I got back from college. So I started off with the Metro Buccaneers, and I was over there with Mark McQuestion, but Mark left and went to you. And he brought me over to your team. And, man, I mean, when I got there, you know, pretty much, I guess my swagger was on 1,000 again. I was, you know, feeling confident. And I was just looking at the guys around. And one guy that stood out to me, I remember the first day I went over there, first day I met you, you talk a mean game. You semi-agitator. Oh, look at this guy stopping everybody. Can't nobody get off the line. Come on, man. This guy can't come over and do this all y'all. Come on, man. Play ball.
Who was agitating? Who are you talking about?
You.
You. I'm talking about somebody else. Agitator.
And one guy standing on the side, tall guy, and you kept talking to him, and he said, he can't stop me. And I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, we'll see. But that was the receiver, Ron.
Ron Thomas, Ron.
Man.
He was on the show last week.
Ron was tough.
Man, he's a bad boy.
Strong. The one route, and of course his favorite route was the go route. And, So when I got over there with you guys, I think that was probably one of my best experiences in football, because I actually had an opportunity to play with a lot of good coaches. And Brooks, I think you kind of have this knack that
you knew a lot of people from the different generations and eras, because we kind of had a heavily stacked team. I mean, we had like you said, we had guys, you had four, maybe five corners. Then you had three or four different running backs.
Let me say this. We have four great corners.
Yeah,
you
won
before. We had four corners that could play bump and run and can start anywhere. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The way the team was put together. Tight end. Another personal favorite guy of mine was Stan.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God, great hands.
Stan was tough. I mean, he was probably one of the best tight ends that I've ever seen play. And you know, Sam Taylor, of course.
Yeah.
Sam Taylor Jr. I played for his father. I knew Sam, you know, because he used to come out practicing high school, and I saw him play a little bit in college. But Sam was almost like, kind of like what's the guy named? The Warren Moon slash Randall.
He reminded me of Warren Moon. The thing about Sam, he could run because he's big and strong. But the reason why I loved him, because he did stay in that pocket, and he wing that thing, and then sometimes he take off. And I've seen him take off, and I've seen him punish people too.
That's why
my quarterback to do a lot of running. You know, I didn't like my quarterback running a lot.
That's why I gave him that combination of a Warren Moon and Randall Cunningham, because when he had to run, I mean, he not only could he run, he can run you over. He can juke you. I mean, the team was devastating. I mean, we kind of pretty much went through the league. We went undefeated, right?
Yeah, went undefeated. That's when we were number one in the country.
Yeah, 16-0, number one in the country. And, you know, I think we were really battle-tested, and there was never a fall-off. Never a fall-off.
Right.
I mean, the old line was just, oh, my goodness. I think
big. It was averaging 6'4", about 330 all the way across.
Yeah, it was like a
big
professional football thing.
There's no question. No question. Like Big Jeff, smallest lineman I had, Big Jeff Green, he only weighed 270, but he benched 500 pounds. It's no question. Big defensive backs, you know, with big safety and stretch. You had Haynesworth, you know, Mark. I mean, Pickett. We had Danny Hayes. We had Cox was there at one time. I mean, it was a lot of talent, right? And the thing about it is, these teams nowadays that float around, everybody want to start a team, it'll never be like that. I mean, we had a bunch of ex-NFL ball players like Chaz and them, and ex-college ball players. I mean, stars that were in college, not guys just played college ball. And we had, you know, Willie Wood played in the Arena League. So we had so much talent. And the thing about it is, this is what I can't figure out today. I'm telling you something. I thought about this. With that kind of talent, and you know, with that kind of talent, it should have been some dissension on that team with playing time and all that, but it never happened. And I knock on wood and thank the Lord, because guess what? That could have really got out of control, because it was a lot of talent. We're not talking about no second string fall off. We're talking about people. We can go deep third, but we did play a lot of people, right? We tried to play like 17 on offense and 17, 18 on defense, because not because we want to get people playing time, because we were just that good. But I'm shocked that dissension didn't come about just because one man, well, I'm better than you, and this guy, he shouldn't be playing and stuff. But we never had that.
But you know what kind of heals all that a little bit, Brooks? Winning.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because if we were losing, it would be a whole lot of problems.
Yeah, and I think. Also, too, probably we jumped out on a lot of teams early, and that afforded us to play other guys more. And even when we jumped out on teams early, I remember us beating somebody like 48-3, talking about like guys that would be starting probably wouldn't be playing a lot of the third and fourth quarter because we had a chokehold on the game. I mean, the talent was unbelievable. I mean, and we had guys with a lot of personality, like Crawford had personality, Ron had personality, but it all seemed to kind of mesh together. And like we had, I'm going to tell you one guy who I had a lot of respect for, he was kind of more like a quiet leader, Stretch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stretch was your quiet leader in the secondary. He led by example. Mark, he was more like a vocal leader in the secondary.
And, but I was gonna cut Stretch. And I'm gonna tell you why I was gonna cut him. I was gonna cut him and didn't even know him. We had a meeting and you know, we had a meeting before the season started and all that. We go to meetings and even when the season started and every time I turn around I'm talking and I'm looking around, he keeps smiling. I said, "What's wrong with you? You think this is a joke or something?" I said, "Why you keep smiling?" Everybody else, I'm talking. You know how I talk trash, right? And I look where he keeps smiling.
A lot of trash.
I said, "You're looking to smile. You gonna hit somebody?" I said, "Man, after practice, I said, bro, we need to get rid of this guy." He said, "Get rid of him." I said, "I don't like that guy. He just keeps smiling. He think everything's a joke." But guess what? He's still smiling. He kicked butt. When he kicked butt, he was smiling. After the game, before the game, he's still smiling. So I said, "Oh, what the heck?"
Stretch can lay that wood. Now, Stretch.
Oh, he can hit. It's no question.
I don't know why they called him Stretch, but I assume because he was stretching people out.
I know. And you know, he got hurt at one time. Then we had Willie Bowman, Q Dog. Then we had one time we had a Haynesburg. I mean, I'm just shocked that no dissension set in the team. Jealousy.
Like I
know winning is one thing, but it was when I look back at that roster, it was deep.
That was a stacked team. I think man for man, that's probably the best team that I ever played on. And of course, I've never played on an undefeated team. So you know, that was, you know, good. And I think another thing about that too, Brooks, that a lot of these guys that we're talking about, they played in the same era and they kind of played with each other. Like, I played with Mark McCutcheon and Leroy in high school. So I was comfortable and familiar, and I knew their tendencies. And, you know, like Fenwick and Danny Hayes, and they played together before. So, you know, the gel and everything was just right. And, you know, you just had the right mesh of guys out there. And the coaches, everybody pretty much stayed in their lane. I mean, Coach Brown, he had all kind of defensive schemes. And
he was a genius.
It's a luxury when you got just a plethora of arsenal to kind of use. I'm going to say another guy that was extremely good, I want to say his name was Joe Green.
Green. Played that corner.
Joe Green. I think Joe Green and I were kind of similar. You kind of play strong safety. You kind of use Joe as a strong safety or corner, you know what I'm saying, depending on the situation. So you got guys that can play multi-positions at a high level. You can put a guy on the corner. You can put Joe on the corner, or you can put him at strong safety.
I remember down in Charlotte. We won the championship, and they came out with four wide receivers, and they played four wide receivers, and we played bump and run the whole game. And, you know, that's what Brown believed. I played bump and run. That's all we want to play is bump and run. I don't want to play no get off of them, give them 10 yards. We play bump and run, bring the heat, bump and run, and a lot of different blitzes. I ran the offense, but one thing about it, I never messed with Brown. I let him do his thing. That's what you're supposed to do. Every time we got in trouble on defense, I didn't run to Brown and say, "Y'all need to do this." I say, "Brown got it." See, I mean, if everybody got confidence in each other, then you don't have a problem. You know.
So, Coach Brown, now I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't feel comfortable as long as I played football, like playing off of a receiver. I always had to like be up on you because I felt I was so fast.
Same thing with
I can get my hands on you. But like if you back me off of him, I wasn't as comfortable playing off of a guy. So, you know, once I knew Coach Brown like bump and run, I said, oh, this is going to be easy.
Let me tell you something. I told Brown, this is the way we play. Brown already knew it, but I said we play bump and run because I'm probably the first one to come out of D.C. to play bump and run 90% of the time. If it's 3rd and 12 and they go, man, I'm playing bump and run. I don't care about give him, you know, back off and worry about the first down. Hey, I'm in your grill. Even if I don't put my hands on you, I'm going to crowd you and control you.
Yeah.
But,
Troy. Yeah.
Look, I hate to cut you off, man. We got to get ready to go because it's getting ready to go off the air. But give me a couple of words before you go.
Well,
15 seconds.
I would like to say, you know, God bless everybody listening to the show and bless all the great athletes in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. And I really appreciate you having me on your show. And you actually were a big part of this semi-pro football league in the District of Columbia.
Well, I appreciate it, man. And you're a great ball player. I mean, you can play. Man, the first time I saw you, I said, Brown, we want that guy right there because you can go. But I appreciate it, man.
Thanks
for coming on the show. Love you, man.
All right, love you too.
Take it easy.
All right.
Okay. Well, we had a great show. And my man Joe Collins, we had Troy Thomas, you know, different journeys. You know, Troy is about, I guess he's about 50 years old. He played for me at 93 at Joe Collins. Joe Collins, I'm 67. Joe Collins is maybe about 70, you know. Great ball player, my teammate, great friend of mine. Didn't even know he had kidney transplant. So that's what the show is all about. When people come on, they talk about their journeys. I didn't know about Troy playing all the different positions. I didn't know he could punt. So that's what the show is about. It's about DMV, athletes, coaches. We got to represent. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Good night.